They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And it's the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Station. Another Monday where we're glad to have you along with us. It's Merkin Moores, Daryl Moores, Paul Merkowitz will join us on this Monday. We'll talk about the Huskers' blowout of Louisiana Lafayette coming up this week, this last Saturday, and the 300th consecutive sellout. All that, your emails, love to hear from you. What'd you think about any of the games, whether it be high school, collegiate, NFL, football, volleyball, whatever was going on. Love to hear from you at the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's Doug, spell out the word and Daddy. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Phone lines are also open, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. Hi.
Freely admit, Douglas, running a little behind today. I'm just running behind, and I apologize for that. But any time you spend the morning at the cashier when an inordinate amount of tickets to cash, thank you to everyone out there for following my lead.
Did you have a good week? Did you bounce back?
We bounced back. We bounced back. Got a little bit of room.
We'll take a look at the Doug and Daddy pick'em from the weekend as well, see if we rolled over our latest victim last Friday. But let's take a look at what you did. You're fired up about this.
Well, 3-1 in college, 3-1 in the pros. 6-2 overall. So that gives us a little bit of breathing room. We're back 10-9 on the year, so that gets us 16-11. We, you know, trying to maintain.
So how'd we do this?
I had Alabama routing Arkansas, which came to fruition. Michigan State was a loss to Wisconsin, 38-30, close game. TCU, I know they were the rated team, but we took them over Clemson, won the game outright. Missouri and Nevada. Missouri a 10-point winner there with a 7-point spread. So
that's a win, right?
Yes, 3-1 on the college. Then in the pro.
How did Washington State do?
We didn't. No, well, you know what? I tell you, take Washington State every week, folks. When the point spread's over 45, you can't do that. That even in the college game, you just cannot do that.
And the pros.
In the pros, another 3-1 week. New England, a winner over Atlanta. The Titans was our loser, lost by a touchdown to the Jets. Took the Saints against Derek's Bills and San Diego to cover. So 3-1 in the pros.
We will talk. I mean, there again, there are some bad. Who's the worst team in the National Football League? We'll talk about that. I will say this: the state of Missouri is following suit. They stink. St. Louis, Kansas City, bad. I'd like to say Oakland's the worst team, but they beat Kansas City. They're one of the worst teams out there. There are some bad, bad football teams.
Remember all summer, and you heard the show from time to time on Fridays when you were out, Doug, but Damon Day sat in. Brady Quinn, he beat his chest.
Damon who? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to one of the UNK coaches that actually might know something. Daryl Moores joins us to start off the program today. Mondays with Merkin Moores after the big 18-13 win over Shadron State. And plenty of work in this one, a fourth quarter with no scoring, but the bottom line is it's a win over the Eagles. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Let's get to, now that you've looked at the film and went back over it all, your impressions now that a couple of days have settled.
Well, it was exactly kind of what we thought it would be. It was a slobber knocker, a barn burner, a battle, and I didn't expect anything differently. You know, we could be 10-0, they could be 10-0, and the other one 0-10, and it's going to be a tough ball game. So we did some good things, did some bad things. It's never as ugly or as pretty after you watch it on film. So it was exactly kind of what we thought it was, just a good old hard-fought football game.
Coach, take us back to deciding not to kick the field goal in the first quarter.
Well, we'd missed an extra point, and I was not feeling good about what we were doing and kicking the football at that particular point in time and on the planet Earth. So we'd been pretty good at fourth down conversion, so I just thought I'd take a shot at it and see if we couldn't actually get something going. We chased that extra point the entire day, and so did Shadron State, as a matter of fact. I mean, we missed a two-point conversion, they missed a two-point conversion, and that thing was the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and I didn't want to go, I just did not want to go down that road and have him miss another kick when I might need one later on for sure.
this was a pretty basic day for Rustin Dring. Hand him the ball and watch him get 184 yards.
Well, he's the best back in the RMAC. I don't think there's anybody close to him. And, you know, he did a great job for us again. He made some great cuts, some very good reads. And, yeah, we fed him the football, you know, like an old carnival pony. And he just kept going and going. So as long as he can continue to do that, we're going to continue to do that.
Jake's also doing a good job on the ground for you.
Yes, he is. Jake had almost 100 yards rushing that first touchdown drive. He had 59 yards rushing on that drive alone. So the things that Jake is doing, getting himself out of trouble and creating plays, when you stick a guy like Rusty Dring behind him, and they've got that's a two-back set back there, regardless of what anybody thinks, and it causes people on defense some problems.
Coach, take us back to when Jake actually broke the one over towards your bench and the two shattering players collided. Did you think that kid was dead?
Well, I think he did lose consciousness just briefly. I really do. And he's a good football player out of Cook, Nebraska, I think, or North, maybe Scotts Bluff, can't remember. But good player. But they did collide heads pretty good. You could hear it. And I think he might have lost consciousness briefly. But he did come back in the second half and played the entire second half. So I think he's okay.
We are talking with the head football coach at UNK, Daryl Morris, as we do every Monday, and put together four straight wins, 18-13. That's a little different than the games that you've been winning over the last few years. Did you think 18, maybe if you convert everything, 21, was that about as much as you thought you could have scored in this game?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. We've been playing good football, and they had not been playing well. I thought their quarterback played probably better than what they even had hoped he would play. So I thought he kept him in the ball game, being able to avoid some sacks and get himself out of trouble also. So, but still, you know, they went to the third round of the national playoffs last year or something, and they beat us by 3 points, and I got an All-American kicker that can't get the ball off the ground. It's just that kind of game.
Coach, talk a little bit about your defense. Only 13 points. I don't care who you're playing. They were awfully effective all day.
Well, I think they had well under 100 yards rushing, so we kept them in check. You give up the 75-yard pitch and catch in the first drive, and then the touchdown. After that, I think our defense dominated the ball game. I don't think there's any question about that.
Eric Scheel, Josh, Alex, they were kind of your leaders on Saturday.
Yeah, Sheely did a great job. Josh Rohde continues to play very good football. He beat their two guards up. The cops might come get him, but he did a great job up front. Mason Brodeen, you know, still plays well for us. And so the guys up front defensively are really getting the job done for us right now.
Coach, I want to mention your offensive line, too. We talk about the running backs, but there were holes for them to get through and break that initial line of scrimmage.
And I'm glad you're doing that, because I'll tell you, and this went probably unnoticed by a lot of people, but Jack Hyatt suffered an injury to his snapping hand in the first half, right towards the end of the first half. He had a bowling ball taped up on his hand, his right hand, and he snapped the entire game, his second half of that game, left-handed. Has never snapped a football left-handed, never had a bad snap in the shotgun with the quarterback underneath of him. So you got to give props to a kid that has basically a shattered finger and can withstand that and then snap the football in the college football game and take a nose guard on one-handed. Jack Hyde is a man in anybody's book.
Did you have any idea he was ambidious?
I did not know that, and I don't think he still knows he is, actually. I asked him to spell that, and then he started with an A, and I said, good job.
Good Lord. Just got a minute before the main man has to head off and teach a little bit, too. Daryl, Colorado State Pueblo is not going to be any kind of a pushover Saturday.
No, they're not. They're two teams right now. They looked really, really good against Shattern State up at Shattern. They didn't look as good against Mines this past week. They might have still been a little wind drunk, maybe. I'm not sure. But they've got good people on defense. They run around well. They're extremely well coached. They're sound as a dollar. So, you know, there's a couple of teams in our league right now that might not be a handful, but I think these guys will be a handful.
Anything that they do a little bit different that you'll really be keying on?
No, you know, not really. They're going to line up in a 30 defense and some 50 defense for us a little bit, which we've not seen much of. But the 30 defense seems to be the defense in the league right now, and this will be our fourth or fifth week in a row of going against that. So, they just got good personnel. Their linebackers run well, hit well. They cover the ball pretty well. So And they're not afraid of you. So, you know, it'll be a good football game. Come out and see it.
Coach, I guess, you know, in the second half there, anything you want to clean up before next week's game or concerns
well,
you?
Well, yeah, we had some penalties, you know, and some bonehead things down the stretch. We had a personal foul. You know, we had a face mask in another time on a quarterback sneak. We jumped off sides a couple times, got a punt blocked. I had our backup long snapper in there, and he made a mistake and let him block a punt. But, you know, we just need to clean up some of those organizational things and making sure we got the right personnel on the field and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Coach, like we said, great win, big win over Shadron State. You're atop the RMAC standings. I imagine when the coaches' poll comes out, you might even sneak into that, even though you're in the media poll from D2. So things are they're headed the right way for you.
Well, they're heading the right way, but there's still a long way to go, and there's still some very good football teams on our schedule that we're going to have to get by. So, you know, we'll take them one week at a time.
How healthy are you, Darrell?
Minus Jack Hyatt. I think Eric Sheely spent a little bit of time. He's got a staph infection going, so he's getting doctored with that. But other than that, we actually came out of it in pretty good shape again. So, again, one-handed center playing with the wrong hand, and we're just going to have to see how well he can do with that. But other than that, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Coach, we'll let you get off to class and talk to you next week.
I got to fire up my photon microscope.
See you, Darrell.
Yeah.
Darrell Morris every Monday on Mondays with Merck and Morris after an 18-13 win over Shadron State College. Puts them to 4-1, their only loss to nationally-ranked Wayne State by 5, and that was at their place on opening ice. They've won 4 in a row, and Pueblo, who's right there, will be a tough game. And then you can't overlook anybody, but then they head way out to Western New Mexico and Highlands and all that after that. So big win, and they need to put one more in the book, and they're going to be in great, great shape if they can talk next Monday about another win.
That's exactly right, Doug. This is a game, you know, at home. Our home field should provide this team be favored next week. They got to take care of business. I think they're looking ahead towards the challenges, but you're right. After next week, maybe can take a deep breath and say, all right, guys, we control things. Let's go.
And here's another thing. Why are you so negative today? Coach, why all the penalties? Coach, why'd you go for it on fourth down? Coach, why are you so negative? You always tell me I'm Mr. Negativity. It's Monday. You're supposed to be happy. Everybody won. Why are you negative?
Unfortunately, and I'm going to talk to Coach Morris about getting a headset. You change. I understand why the no field goal. It was a short field goal. I understand that. He was the Division II Player of the Week a week ago. They went for two. They chased that all afternoon. They went for two again. Instead of making it a six-point game, and everybody says, well, they wanted to make it seven, so a touch. I understand that. Well, Shadron goes down, misses a field goal. So that plays once again into my why I would kick it, because if you have trouble, maybe you bobble that snap, maybe you don't get the extra point if they score a touchdown, and it's six. Another thing for me is...
That's why you don't get a headset.
You don't want to get
every
beat.
Every coach would go for a seven-point lead as opposed to a six-point lead. The chart says at 5 points.
The chart's screwed.
Two.
No, it doesn't. Not with
Coach's
nine...
right, and
not,
everybody else is wrong.
That's right. Not with 9 minutes left in the third quarter, I don't. There's still points out there. I take every one of them.
Okay, you didn't tell me that part.
9 minutes left in the third
See,
quarter.
Half stories. You're full of half stories. Why don't you tell me the whole story? Tell me the whole
I'd
story.
I'd love to have you there Saturday.
Tell me the whole story.
Screaming your lungs out.
I went to the Husker game.
I understand.
I went to the Husker game. Were you at the Husker game?
No.
300th consecutive sellout? I was there.
Was it awesome?
Lafayette was horrible. They weren't good. Nebraska is still, though, to be tested. We'll talk about that. We'll hear a few quotes from Coach Pelini. They get a couple of days off now to rest up because their next game is not until Missouri the 8th. They'll get back on the practice field Wednesday. Hastings College, maybe a little easier time with Dakota Wesleyan than some had thought. They roll them 36-14. Coach Paul Merkowitz will join us in the second half of the show to talk about their win as well. Plus, I don't even know where to go with you on this because you fell into this yesterday. Nebraska moved up very minutely in the polls, and Virginia Tech is sixth, and everybody is up in arms about why that is, how that is. Iowa comes in at number 14, and all of a sudden Nebraska is getting no respect because of virtually one play against Virginia Tech. A lot of people think if we beat Virginia Tech the way things moved out, we would be sixth in the country, seventh in the country.
Fifth.
And again, no, we wouldn't. But I will say this. The coaches' poll, after looking at it, needs to be disbanded because obviously the coaches aren't voting, and it's just it's insane. And I'm not saying the media is any better at doing this, but obviously they see a few more of the games they cover. I just Oregon is 25th in the coaches' poll and 16th in the AP. Iowa is 17th in the coaches' poll and Penn State is 13th in the AP poll. Iowa is 13th and Penn State is 15th, as it should be. I mean, they have the same. I mean, Iowa's 4-0, Penn State's 3-1. Iowa beat Penn State. But here's where it gets screwy. Oklahoma's 8th, BYU is 20th and 21st, and Florida State is nowhere to be found. So go explain that scenario. This losing early, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Oklahoma should not be number 8 in the country. That was an embarrassing loss to BYU, and you didn't have Sam Bradford, and that's the excuse. But I just, wow. And is Florida really, they're not as good as they were last year. They aren't. And Tim Tebow gets just crushed over the weekend. Probably going to be okay. Nebraska 24th in the coaches poll, 23rd in the Associated Press poll this week. Mississippi falls from number 4 to number 21.
Douglas, if you say Oklahoma's not the eighth-ranked team in all of the land, you look at the list of football teams up there, who would you put Oklahoma behind?
Well, here's the problem. Look at the non-traditional schools.
Exactly.
Cincinnati 10th, TCU 11th, Houston 12th. I'll put Iowa there, 13th. Iowa State 14th. 10 through 14, or excuse me, Oklahoma State 14. Those are the teams that are 10 through 14. You got Boise State in there. I mean, you got traditional powers in the top 10, Florida, Texas, Alabama, LSU, Boise State's been there forever, Virginia Tech, USC, Oklahoma, Ohio State. That's the top 9, despite what has happened to those teams that have lost. That's basically the exact same poll that we had at the beginning of the preseason, just a month ago. So losses just don't matter. And now we'll find out. Miami, Oklahoma, this Saturday night. You'll hear it here on ESPN. It will be interesting. And by the way, Missouri moves ahead of Nebraska after that crushing win over Nevada in the coaches' poll. One more thing. Missouri, actually, who wasn't in the poll, moves ahead of Nebraska. How?
I can't explain it.
They're not ranked in the AP. They would be 26th in the AP poll. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Love to get your emails, your phone calls. Fire them off. We'll be back after this.
Put your arms up on the table, bend over, and spread your legs.
Quite a sight, wasn't it, sir?
A sight I'd rather not be seeing.
Blindfolds will be available at the front desk. And Doug and Daddy will be right back.
Oh, my goodness.
If you've noticed a change in your hearing, then it's time to see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. The unique partnership between our audiologists and physicians allow us to provide unsurpassed care and state-of-the-art hearing health care. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
To figure that the only golf course in central Nebraska with a global positioning system would have a good shot at spotting you some great savings. Indian Head Golf Course has specially priced their pass card memberships, so if you buy one now, you got the remainder of this golf season and all of next. That's 16 months of golf for the price of 12. Speaking of fall, all the Husker games are on the tube in the clubhouse, so shoot around and stay for the football. Visit Central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course, Indian Head. Go to IndianHeadGolf.com or call 308-381-4653.
Tonight, it's an NFC battle in Big D when Tony Romo and the Cowboys host the Carolina Panthers. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason. Join Kevin Harlan, Kevin Kiley, and me for all of the action from the house that Jerry built, brand new Cowboys Stadium. Can Carolina turn things around before it's too late? Will Dallas bounce back from a tough loss last week in their building? Tune in to Westwood One to find out. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here.
Cowboys and Panthers tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Why does he take that stuff?
We take the guesswork out of which NFL game to watch. Just listen to the best matchups Sundays and Mondays on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
You're not just saying that to make me feel good. Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast. Calling for mainly sunny skies, breezy northwest winds, 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature near 67 degrees. For tonight, frost advisor goes in effect, mostly clear, low near 38 degrees. Currently 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program today. Tomorrow, Sean Callahan expected to join us on the program. No press conference tomorrow for Coach Pelini, so we'll fill in with some other items on the program tomorrow. Derek has just broken the good news to us once again. The fourth week of the Doug and Daddy Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em. And for the fourth straight week, what would you like to tell the competitor?
Looks like the competitor stunk it up big time.
You're just terrible. Each of our contestants that is on the show with us Friday gets a Doug and Daddy t-shirt, $25 Bruce Furniture certificate, and assorted other goodies. But to get into the finals, you got to beat us. And now this is what makes it interesting. Whoever wins the whole shindig, the bowls at the end of the year, two Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture in downtown Kearney on the Brick. Stop by and see them today because obviously no one can take care of our dominance, but everybody beat the caller.
Yeah, Eric from Loop City turned in the worst record yet this season. So 3-8 for Eric from Loop City, bottom of the pack there. Daddy, you didn't fare too much better. 5-6 for a Daddy and Doug.
How did I? Where did help me out here?
Let's see. You had Michigan State over Wisconsin. That was wrong. You had California over Oregon. That was wrong. You had Pittsburgh over North Carolina State. That was wrong. You had Miami over VTech. That was wrong. And of course, you had Penn State. And Iowa took care of business there. Actually, let me recount that. 6-5 So you did break 500 there. Doug, 8-3
Hello.
He missed the TCU at Clemson, California at Oregon, Iowa at Penn State. The only three Doug missed.
I actually missed the two that had the biggest spreads on them.
Are you losing betting?
I'm just not doing it.
Uh huh. So fair enough.
Besides, these are straight up not with the points. Yeah, it is a fair question.
But
although 6-5s don't really make you run to the window very often. So this
but you're 8-3 does.
This week, yeah. This is the best week, yeah.
Good.
And dang near would have covered on the TCU Clemson thing. I think that would have been a push, right? So betting, I think, or was Clemson favored?
Clemson was favored. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So no. So there you go. Okay. But anyway, we'll do it again this Friday. Your chance to get in, beat us. I mean, if there's only one or two people that beat us, probably your odds pretty good of winning some Lazy Boys. I don't know. This Friday, Daddy's hot. On his against the spreads. I'm dominating the world on college picks. We'll do it again Friday.
You know, as they do in SportsCenter, obviously recapping all the NFL games that happened yesterday. What I want to know is, when is the NFL going to allow for a review of officials' calls?
We'd be there all day.
No. I'm talking, go down to the final 3 minutes. Houston Texans got absolutely jobbed yesterday on a phantom interference call in the end zone that nobody, I understand you go over to the booth and you say, hey, this is a critical time in the game. It's coming down to a nitty gritty. And this back judge throws a flag in there. And I'd just like to go, what did you have from your angle? Because we've got six other angles here. Do you think you made the right call? And after he takes a look at four of them, go, I might have missed. You know, we need to make this right. You only got 17 weeks in the NFL. Every game is awfully important, and to get a job like that, something is very, very wrong.
You're just going to beat officials to death because that's just the way. That's the way it always is.
I don't think there's any. You know, I don't have a conspiracy theory where I think the guy. No, it was a bad call that was missed.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. This is from Jason in Hastings. He says, I loved the offensive play calling in Saturday's Husker win, 55-0.
Excellent.
Ken, our Irish Ken's report, he's starting to name his report. Don't do that, Ken, because, you know, no way. Number one, sure good to see Phil back in the winner's circle. Yes. Phil Mickelson, he won by 3. And that was with a quad on the opening day where he hacked it back and forth between bunkers. So he pars that. That's a 7-shot win. I know you can't, but, I mean, still, one hole. You don't see pros do that. Wow. He really just came back and dominated. He was 28th after day one of the 30, and he ends up coming back and winning it. And
he gets
$3 million on the bonus, and he gets $1 million something for winning the tournament. So that's not a bad day. Tiger gets $10 million for winning the FedEx, $800,000 for finishing second in the tournament. So not bad there. That was just one of Ken's points.
Is El Tigre kind of losing that Sunday mojo deal? He hasn't made that run. You fully expected that yesterday, that he didn't get on a birdie train and, just chew up the back nine and everybody's going to be in trouble. But about the third tournament in a row, and hasn't been there.
Well, I think he is going to, in the off season, consult with the Black Widow of competitive eating. Who will tell him what?
Fuck us, and you're fucking tonight, fucking harder.
So we'll see if Tiger focuses more. Number two, judging from the results of this week's beauty contest, better known as the coaches poll, Nebraska's football team needs to change beauticians. And number three from Ken, although I'm not a fan of Terrell Owens, I respect him for not fighting back at the scumbag reporters who tried to get him to say something negative about Sunday's game. Jimmy Clausen for president, Irish Ken. I turn to my resident Buffalo Bill fan, Derek. Thoughts?
Yeah, brutal. Brutal. Brutal loss. So they were in the game until late and then just gave up a couple late touchdowns.
Trent's just,
I don't know. He's not up.
Well, he's Trent Edwards.
Yeah, he's not, but I think he's a better quarterback than he's shown so far this season. T.O. not catching a pass is not going to help things out. You got to have your number one receiver take down a few passes in the game for sure. I mean, they were taking him away, obviously.
He was open.
He was open on several.
They had a touchdown and overthrew him.
Yeah, it's just.
I thought I was watching Tony Romo overthrow him again.
Yeah, Edwards isn't in sync. I'm not sure what the deal with Buffalo is. They get Marshawn Lynch back next weekend. He was only out for the first three games, suspended for several off-the-field incidents from last season. But with Marshawn Lynch coming back, I don't even think it's going to make that big of a difference because Fred Jackson's been running the ball so well. So I don't know. It looks like another season starting.
Derek,
you know who was
an absolute B on your defense? A capital B? Mr. Kelsey.
Yes, Kelsey.
They could not block him yesterday. He was all over the field.
Yeah, between him and Schoble, they have a the defensive line's one of the strong points of the team for sure, but they can't put it together on offense like they need to.
Outstanding, except for Buffalo. And again, yesterday's NFL. You can't figure it out. Cincinnati is a fluke play away from being 3-0, and Denver is 3-0 because of a fluke play. Go figure.
I'm with you.
Defend Brett Favre, Daddy. Why is he running 40 yards downfield to make a block? Is he trying to injure himself?
I
don't know what he's doing. He ran 40 yards down the field. He dumped it. There was a short pass, probably 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. The guy takes off downfield. Here comes Brett Favre out of nowhere to throw a block at the end of the play while the guy's being tackled. Really wouldn't have made that much of a difference. If I'm the coach, I pull him to the side and say, hey, buddy, you're $13 million a year. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think he'd want to put himself out there, but what a pass.
But like the commentators say, you like to see it from a guy like that. Obviously, he's not out there for the money. He's out there to play the game. So,
Okay, Thursday we will have our power rankings and Joe DeMeo. And props to Joe DeMeo. He said Aaron Rodgers and Maurice Jones-Drew were your studs this week, and Aaron Rodgers had the best fantasy points from a quarterback, and right there Maurice Jones-Drew did the job from the running back position. Daddy, other surprises in the NFL. Who is the worst team? Who is the worst team? I think there's an argument for at least five teams out there.
After watching Jamarcus Russell throw the football yesterday.
You've got to get him out, and I don't care who the backup is. He's terrible. Yeah. He's the worst quarterback starting out there.
It's like he threw twice. The two interceptions came with bracket coverage, and that's somebody over the top of him and underneath of him. I mean, and sandwiched and threw it in there twice. It was amazing to see.
Let's go to the phone lines, 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. Our delusional Husker fan from Grand Island joins us this morning. What's up, delusional?
Oh, not too much. Just enjoying a beautiful day here in Nebraska.
Not getting blown away, huh?
Not too bad yet. I just had a couple things on the Huskers. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in the rankings. I don't think we're a top five team by any chance. Maybe not even a top 10, but somewhere between 10 and 6 teams certainly wouldn't be out of line, I wouldn't think. And the second thing, have the Jets ever flown that low over Memorial Stadium before? I was in my prime seats in row 89, and I could feel the heat from the Jets when I went over.
Well, and I think they caught everybody off guard because they flew over way before anybody was expecting it. I mean, it was at the 13-minute. Well, not way before anybody was expecting it, but they did hit right around the national anthem. You weren't expecting that, though, huh? You didn't see them coming?
It was a good game, you know. We're beating the people we're supposed to beat by the amounts we're supposed to beat them. One play away from Virginia Tech, you know, a lot of woulda, couldas, but I guess win the games and you'll get the respect. But I just don't think Nebraska gets the respect that we used to have, and it's going to take a little while to earn it.
Hey, Delusional, before we let you go here, your overall thoughts on the 300th celebration and the things that they incorporated into the game. Was it what you expected, more or less?
No, it is about what I expected. It was pretty cool. They had a little bit more with Keith Jackson and Barry Switzer and all them doing their little comments during the game and stuff. It was really neat. I kind of normally enjoy a 55-0 blowout. People are filing out in the fourth quarter. Nobody left.
Yeah, nobody left.
And, and the video was over, and then 86,000 people tried to leave all at once.
It was hell getting out of there, I'll tell you.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad.
Delusional.
It was a good time.
Thanks for the call, bud.
Sure.
Yeah, as we said, Barry Switzer, they had a little clip during downtime, you know, the media timeout. They started with Keith Jackson, then Frank Solich, Turner Gill, Barry Switzer, Barry Alvarez, and even Barry Alvarez mentioned Joe Paterno in one of their recent coaches' clinics, had brought up Nebraska fans about how to act, talking to his Penn State people. That's how you're supposed to act. The only one that was missing was a Bill from Lincoln, Bill Slash from New York. Hey, Husker fan. Glad to see there's a streak I couldn't even break. 300 consecutive sellouts. If I'd have stuck around another couple years, this would be gone too. And the Jets are 3-0. So, impressive win for Atlanta, who I had 2 in the power rankings, Pittsburgh 4. They will both tumble this week. Getting back to our NFL rankings, and we'll hear from Coach here in our next segment, Pelini. But, I mean, Detroit breaks the – is it just weird that kind of everybody was expecting Detroit to break the losing streak, and thus they did? The public, were they right this week? Were they wrong this week? I've got to get a hold of our man, Mike Perenio, in Las Vegas to figure things out because I just can't understand what's going on.
Where do you put Washington as far as the crapola goes?
Well, see, there you go.
I mean, they've got their one win.
They beat St. Louis 9-7.
Right.
Is Washington the worst team? No, I think Oakland's the worst team. Somehow they got the win against Kansas City, and Kansas City outplayed them. I think Oakland right now, who always beats Denver in Oakland, is the worst team in the NFL. Is that what you think, or is it somebody else? Because St. Louis is bad.
Tampa Bay. They didn't have a first down, Doug, until 4 minutes left in the third quarter.
But they were playing the best team in the NFL, the Giants. You like Baltimore, that's fine. They're playing one of the three best teams in the NFL.
I'm saying complete a pass.
John from Kearney on the line, guys.
Let's go back to the phone lines. John, what's on your mind?
Well, the Raiders still suck. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy's going to go play quarterback next week, and I don't know. I think you could have threaded the one end, but the other one, I don't know.
John, when you were watching those passes that he threw, the interception, were you just totally baffled at what he could have possibly been seeing?
Well, I have no idea what the heck he was looking at, and probably looking at the crossbar in his helmet. That's probably why he got shielded, because he couldn't see, even though he's 6'7 or whatever. Doesn't make any difference. It's just he's blatantly terrible. Put Grabowski in and, you know, at least lose with a little bit of dignity and not the total humiliation that we are losing by. But Doug, I gotta ask you, on the call at the Husker game on the punt return, was that really a personal foul when the face mask hits his shoulder?
Yeah, the fumble, and it happened twice.
Jace Dean, the one.
There were two times where they called helmet-to-helmet contact. No, helmet-to-helmet contact, folks, needs to be, it should be the launching rule, and it definitely wasn't on the punt where they fumbled, and then they called us for the 15-yard penalty. You're right, John, it was a blown call.
Couldn't believe it. I figured for sure that was just going to bring you. You would have been the only one jumping up out of your seat, even though I know everybody else jumped up out of their seat on that call. But you were still scared from the Jets flying over, so I know that was that was on your mind. So
thanks,
anyway,
John.
Kudos on Monday, guys, and go Huskers! And kick the snot out of Missouri.
All right, bud. Thanks for the call. Take care. John joining us. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
By the way, thanks an awful lot. Thanks an awful lot. You're right. Robert Griffin's numbers will not be that good this year.
Well, I was going to bring that up last night, but you're right. It's hard to say. He will go down as the most overrated player, and unfortunately it's because of the injury. I'm not making fun or pointing, but yes, if you look back, you will find out that Robert Griffin will have been the most, unless Sam Bradford can't come back, he will have been the most overrated, hyped-up thing that happened. And it's not because he's not a great athlete, but really, he didn't rock the world while he was playing, and unfortunately Baylor's season, you don't know. But all of a sudden, the game on Halloween at Waco just became 5 times, 10 times easier. We'll take a break, back with more after this.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation with the Doug and Daddy Show, where their motto is...
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Hi, I'm Janet Hubert. You probably know me as Aunt Viv on TV's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but it's my latest role as an African-American woman with osteoporosis that's got me fired up. Like, did you know that 35% of African-American women are estimated to have low bone mass? What's even more frustrating is that few African-American women are tested and treated for the disease. Come on now, ladies. Talk to your doctor today. Osteoporosis, it's beatable, it's treatable. To learn more, visit NOF.org.
Welcome to Progressive Theater, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Man, this beach party was so boss until the bikers showed up.
Don't be a square, Flapjack. Our party is great for everyone, just like Progressive.com. They're the number one insurer of motorcycles and a leader in boat and RV.
Well, if Progressive can include everyone, then so can we.
Anyway, us bikers aren't here to rumble. Now everybody dance.
Protect your vehicles. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfair Village, Ohio. Market positions from 2008, Millward Brown and Harrison, Director Survey Data.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast, calling for mainly sunny skies, breezy northwest winds, 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature near 67 degrees. For tonight, frost advisor goes in effect, mostly clear, low near 38 degrees, currently 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you back with us. I can only deal with one of you every day. You realize that. Well, winners for UNK, Hastings College, and the Huskers. And we'll talk with Paul Merkowitz in just a second. But speaking of winners, well, you want to be a winner in 2010, just like the guys in 2009. Dyna-Grove, folks. You know, it occurs to me that now that the Husker Harvest days is kind of worn down, a lot of those guys are going, you know what, that weren't planning Dyna-Grove said, I'm calling my local Dyna-Grove rep because, really, they're not. Why would they lie? Doug and Daddy wouldn't lie.
No,
I saw that. Well, they would, maybe. But I saw the results out in the field. Why wouldn't you? Dyna-Grove, baby.
It's just that simple. You commit to at least 36 units of corn, a 20% down payment, receive a 12% cash discount through January 15, 2010. That's 12% early pay discount. Okay, I know it's windy out there. You don't want to do the math. But it's equal to a 26.18. That's an annual percentage rate discount, people. 26.18. It doesn't get any better than that. So all those other companies offering you there, well, this one's better. commit to at least 36 units of corn. Contact your local Diner Grill representative to find out more about the 26% APR discount. We can run down all the new hybrids, all the new genetics for you. But let's be honest, folks. Diner Grill is where it's at. They get better and better every year. Ask them about the Smart Stacks, which are now available with Diner Grill corn hybrids.
Got a lot more email to get to, but right now, our Mondays with Merck and Morris. It's time to go to Hastings College and catch up with the head coach of the 19th-ranked Broncos, who are 4-1 on the season after an impressive 36-14 win over Dakota Wesleyan. Paul Merkowitz, coach, way to go.
Morning, boys. Thank you.
Man, now you talked up Dakota Wesleyan here, and you just beat them down.
Well, I think they're a pretty good team. I really think that, you know, I was really happy with the way that we played. You know, I think we probably played as complete of a game as we've played here in a while. And you know, it was nice on Sunday. Sometimes as a coach, when you watch film after you think you play well, you watch the film and that may be not the case and vice versa. Sometimes you don't play as well as you think you do and you watch the film and you thought you played pretty well. But it was nice to really kind of reconfirm that we played really well and did a very nice job in every aspect of the game.
Well, Coach, I guess you just start out up front. Must have had holes open for your running backs.
Really did. I tell you, we were able to, our offensive line were able to handle them up front as well as climb to some linebackers and get some initial seams. And Maurice was dynamite, but I'll tell you, you don't have a day like that without, seven guys in front of you, you know, putting a hat on a hat and taking care of some things.
Paul Merkowitz joins us as he does every Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Last Monday, you weren't sure what you were going to do with the running back situation. Maurice does an outstanding job. A little bit more about where you're at with that right now.
Well, I think I'm just going to keep doing it the same way. I don't know what I'm going to do, and we'll just kind of see, because we really didn't have much of a plan. You know, they were doing some things in coverage, and we felt like that was the best way for us as the game went on to get Maurice some touches. I didn't anticipate, you know, we put him in there in the third series, and I don't think we took him out. I wasn't planning on leaving him in there that long, but, you know, when you get a guy like that that's on a roll like that, you just want to kind of keep going, and that's what we were able to do.
And Maurice has just been named the GPAC Conference Offensive Player of the Week. I kind of thought that might be coming.
Yeah, I just saw it. I just pulled that up while I was waiting on you guys, and Ernesto was also the special teams player of the week. Had a heck of a day, so it's nice to see those guys get recognized, and they put up pretty good numbers. There's a chance they could be possibly national players of the week as well in their respective places.
Ernesto hits a 52-yard field goal to end the first half. Is that about his range?
Yeah, that was. I mean, it looked like it kind of crept over. I was more watching him because he got roughed right after that, and he got hit pretty good, but. That was a big play for us, guys. We were up 17-0, and they had scored to make it 17-7 with about 30 seconds left. And they kicked off, and Brinson Steinhauser took the kickoff to about midfield. Maurice hit a run for about 15 yards, and we used a timeout. To have a guy that can make a 52-yard field goal makes you, pretty good in some areas. And that really helped us, you know, mentally, emotionally coming off the field. It was a pretty big high for us.
Coach, obviously, you talk about watching the film and seeing if you really did. This was just a dominating game from looking at the stat sheet, though.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of stay grounded with it, but, you know, when you work as hard as our kids are and then to play that well, you get pretty excited about it, and that's kind of what I told them. We've got a lot of things that we've got to work on and continue to keep getting better, but, to see the potential that this unit has to do that against a team that I think is a pretty good football team is a credit to our guys and their work ethic.
Talk about the defense. We pointed out a couple offensive guys who stood out defensively.
Yeah, I tell you, and normally we talk about Mackenzie Hemgee and Mac did have another solid game, but Mike Cardenas, our free safety, played extremely well. Brian Callen, one of our linebackers, played extremely well. Pete Botkin is our nose guard, really anchored the center of the formation, and it was really a very good defensive effort. You see some stats there and some yards, but with the numbers that they were putting up coming in and what they left with, we felt really, really good, and we were able to get off the field at the end of the game. They were trying to get a late score, and we really challenged our guys, and they did a great job of getting off the field at the end and not giving up points, and that's hopefully something we can use to kind of springboard us into this week.
Coach, you head to Sioux Center, Iowa. Your thoughts early on Dort?
They're much improved from a year ago, and they did give us some fits, and I think that, we're going to have to play well. I think if you look at their record, you say, okay, you kind of go in the same way looking at Dakota Wesleyan, but they do a lot of things on offense. They really spread you out, and going to be the first time we see a five-man front all year, and so that's going to pose some problems for our running game. So we're going to have to be up for the challenge, that's for sure.
They're not really that good, though, right, Coach?
Well, anybody in our league, man. I mean, they're
no,
anybody Concordia, in our league's pretty good.
Concordia is not good either.
I haven't seen them on film yet.
Coach, joking around a little bit, but what does it do? Dort's a new program. We've got that. Concordia's got a new coach. When the bottom starts to get a long way away from the middle, how does that help / hurt a conference, more hurting a conference?
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much. I don't look at that a lot. You know, I'm kind of more just kind of concerned with our little piece of the world here and what we're doing. But, you know, every game is big for us. And, I think a year ago, I don't know if we prepared for this game the way we should have. And I think it hurt us the next week. You know, we really try to focus with our guys at each of them getting better every week. And regardless of who we're playing, we need to make sure that we do that. And so, you know, that's going to continue to be our focus. But, you know, as far as the league's gone, like I said, this is the first I've seen at Dort this week on film, and I haven't seen much with Concordia either. I know I saw the stats. I don't know if you saw the what Sioux Falls did up there.
Yeah,
it's 700 yards and 40 first downs. That's a lot of offense. But, you know, that's kind of the way it goes.
That's in a game?
80-0.
80-0.
Sioux
yep.
Falls beat Concordia.
That's not a bad season for something.
Yeah, we talked about it. That's at least two games for us offensively to put up 707 yards. So, you know, but that's kind of the way it goes.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get out of here and talk to you next Monday after another win.
Thanks, fellas.
That's Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. We remind you that it is a beautiful day out. Why not take advantage of Prairie Hills? Because it's Monday. And they've got specials on Monday. In, out, Prairie Hills Golf Course having a hole-in-one contest coming up on October 17th and 18th. And we know that's a ways away, but you want to be able to mark that down because you'll have two chances to win $10,000. To enter, you must play at least 9 holes or 18 holes. So that means at least 9. The cost to play 9, $18 with a cart. The cost to play 18, $25 with a cart. And to be able to participate, there is a $10 per hole-in-one entry fee for the contest. Find out a whole lot more from the gang at Prairie Hills Golf Course. And don't forget, there will be a drawing after that two-day event for one lucky participant to win a 2010 membership to Prairie Hills Golf Course valued at $1,000 to the person who is drawn out. For more information or to be able to play, call Prairie Hills Golf Course, set up the tee time. Walk-ups will only be allowed if there is room, so book it up now. And don't forget, it's Monday night. Monday night, the long drive contest on their simulator with great appetizers, $2 beers, $3 mixed drinks all night long. Call Prairie Hills Golf Course today to set your tee time or to find out more about the hole-in-one contest. We're back with more after this.
It's that same satisfaction you got from pulling the arm off a Cabbage Patch doll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good times. The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, it's Colin Coward. Great news. You no longer have to go to the post office to mail letters or ship packages. All you need is Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print official U.S. postage for any letter or any package without ever leaving your home or office. Uh-huh. All you need, your computer and printer. No expensive postage meter to lease. No extra hardware required. Plus, with Stamps.com and the U.S. Postal Service working together, you always get the lowest shipping rates available. There's no hidden fees here, folks. There's no surcharges, no residential delivery fees. Stamps.com even offers discounts you won't find at the post office. Okay, right now I've got a special offer. No risk trial, $100 bonus offer, free postage, $45 worth of it. All you have to do, go to Stamps.com, click on the radio mic, top of the homepage, type in Colin. Stamps.com, promo code Colin.
Have you noticed a change in your hearing? If so, then see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. Our university-trained audiologists can customize hearing aid products to fit your needs, lifestyle, and budget. We continuously update our product line to offer our patients the latest advances in hearing aid technology. So to learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide, visit us online at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At CenterPoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. CenterPoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Right now, as you prepare for the football season's tailgate and big screen TV parties, there awaits you savings of 50% and maybe more on complete food packages for up to 10 people from Uncle Eb's Steakhouse in Grand Island. You could save 50% and have no work in the kitchen. Log on to ESPNRadioSuperstation.com. Click on Easy Auction and buy some, or we'll call your wife.
Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast. Calling for mainly sunny skies, breezy northwest winds, 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature near 67 degrees. For tonight, frost advisor goes into effect, mostly clear, low near 38 degrees. Currently 57. So live your life.
Hey. Hey. Yikes. Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox here. Mark in Minden says Tampa Bay and Cleveland are the worst teams out there. Washington is next because of the Detroit debacle, followed closely by St. Louis, but at least they showed up for a while yesterday.
Offensively, did have it going a little
and
bit.
And Detroit's not even mentioned. They have moved up from like 32nd to at least 25th in the NFL already. Daddy, this from Luke and Carney. Is it really a surprise that Jamarcus Russell is throwing balls into sandwiched bracket coverage? That's his problem. The man loves sandwiches.
See, I got that before you went there.
Yeah, he loves sandwiches. He loves sandwiches. A few comments from Bo Pelini after the win on Saturday night from his press conference. The big thing was the bounce back. He kind of did everything but guarantee that his team would be focused and ready to go.
I said on Tuesday I was pretty confident how our football team would respond, and I said they'd come out and play with passion and play with great effort, and that's what happened. And I love the attitude of this football team and how they came back after the trouble we hit last week, and I like the way they came out. We didn't play perfect by any means, but we did some good things on all phases.
The question then came up later in the press conference, which is exactly what I was wondering. What made him... How did he know? I mean, he wants to come out, coach speak, say, we're going to be ready to go. But, coach, when did you know? How did you know? What sign was given to you that this team wasn't going to be sulking and, I guess, kind of feeling sorry for themselves?
Saturday night, I know this football team, and it's just a matter of how you address it, how you address these things. And I don't think there was ever any sense of us feeling sorry for ourselves. And woe is me. That we were in control of that winning that football game last week, no one else. So... You know, feeling sorry for yourself. Believe me, they're not getting any sympathy here. You know, that is just the way it is. That's kind of the attitude we have, you know, on our football team. I'm not trying to be cold. It's just you control what you can control. And once the game was over, you move on, and then you work better, and you evaluate, and you get better as a football team.
And Nebraska pitching the first shutout since September of 2006 against?
Don't know.
Troy University.
Ooh.
Which will not be our Troutman's Tuesday trivia question tomorrow. But he was asked, has the defense progressed?
We've made progress, but we're nowhere near where I believe we need to be in a lot of respects. We're getting better. Like I said, we're in the great galaxy now, where last year we were a few solar systems away. You know, we got a lot more work to do. We got young guys that are growing into it. We're playing well in some areas. We're playing inconsistent in other areas.
Now, I wanted to play that quote because you've spent so much time in outer space, Daddy.
Yes.
Did you ever run into the defense?
No, I did not. I must have been in another solar system.
So there you go. What haven't we touched on? Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops says Heisman Trophy winner Sam Bradford progressing, but a decision whether he'll play against Miami will not be made until later on this week. So he's not going to play.
Doesn't look good.
I mean, you got to have him ready for Texas. If there's a chance, you got to have him ready for Texas. We mentioned Robert Griffin, the Baylor quarterback, out, an isolated tear in his ACL in a game against Northwestern State 68-13. Hall of Fame was this weekend. Congratulations to all of those that were inducted. Baseball Daddy, the Yankees clinch. We're down to the final week. The Yankees hosting the Kansas City Royals. So the beatdown can begin. A four-game sweep for the Royals in New York, I would assume, begins tonight.
Yeah, you got to hope so. You got the Royals playing very, very well towards the end here. I don't know if that provides any momentum at all towards next year. We'll have to wait and see for that. But maybe leaves you heading home or on vacation for a few months with a little better taste in your mouth than you had a month and a half ago.
Big wins for UNK. They take care of some of their main rivals in the RMAC East in volleyball, including a four-set win over Metro State. They're now 15-1 and probably going to be joined by Coach Squires on our Loper Link talking on Wednesday. The Lopers have three home matches Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Hastings College, they lost to Morningside, and then 19-17, a fifth-set victory over Briar Cliff to pick up the win. They're off until Saturday. Huskers, how far will they fall in the polls? They played a couple of good sets against Texas, but lost in four. They're at Oklahoma on Wednesday in their only match. And the Tri-City Storm open up the season at Omaha coming up on Saturday. Want to remind you, folks, we're going to give you a chance to win some family four-packs to UNK events, whether it's volleyball this week, whether it's the football game. We're going to be doing that later on in the week. And the final high school, the weekly high school polls are out. In the Omaha World Herald, Aurora in B, Blue Hill in C2, and Axtell in D1 are ranked number one in the state. Howells lost to Bancroft Rosalie, and Stu Pospisil will put Bancroft fourth and Howells fifth. A lot of area teams are ranked. Adams Central is fourth in B. Kearney is 10th in Class A in the Lincoln Journal Star. In C1, Hastings St. Cecilia is number one in the Lincoln paper. They're number three behind Boys Town and Norfolk Catholic in the Omaha World Herald. Gothenburg and Broken Bow play each other this week. They're both ranked. Cambridge moves on up after beating Kearney Catholic. Giltner's in there. Alma moves in to number 10 in D1 in the Omaha World Herald as they get ready to take on Amherst this week. Silver Lake moves in the Lincoln Journal Star. So Pleasanton, nice win over Hampton. There you go. That takes care of it.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to tomorrow's show. Among our guests, Sean Callahan from Huskers Illustrated, along with, hey, later in the week, that's right, Gabe DeArmond's coming your way, folks. PowerMizzou.com. We'll see you tomorrow.